With a remarkable promise of the Lord that underscores His purpose for you, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
He will come by His Spirit to indwell you with His presence. And He created us so He could dwell in us. This is a temple. When Christ is there, you're a holy temple, a saint. You're a walking holy place because Christ comes into our very hearts, our very being.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Can there be any higher purpose and calling in life than to be a temple, a dwelling place for God? Nothing comes close. Welcome to today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. We're in 2 Chronicles, a place that speaks of the building of the temple and the dedication of it by Solomon. It has an awful lot to say to us regarding our privileged position. Here to help us mine some of its treasures, Pastor Jeff, in part one of The Indwelling.
So verse 1 of chapter 6, as we continue now with Solomon's message and his prayer. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. He would dwell in the thick darkness. Why would he dwell in the thick darkness? If there is an atomic bomb that goes off, everyone in a 50-mile radius will be affected tremendously. Those closest to the atom bomb, or whatever kind of bomb it is, if it's a nuclear or whatever, they're going to get the worst of it. But the flash of it will blind people 50 miles away. I mean, that's incredible. If God's glory and His greatness would be revealed, check this out, an atomic blast would look like the lighting of a match, how great it would be. So the Lord dwells in the thick darkness for a purpose and a reason. And one of those verses that came out to my mind was Exodus, just jot it down, Exodus chapter 20, verse 21. He says there in 20:21, and the people stood afar off. Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was on the mount. Remember? It just got dark. And remember there on the mount that the Lord said to Moses, he hit the ground immediately, and then he wanted to see the Lord, so we rose up, and all he got to see was the afterglow of where God was. He couldn't see where God was, or he'd been blown away. So this thick darkness, there's a purpose to protect us until we have our new bodies so we can relate to Him without getting blown away. Interesting scripture, jot it down, Philippians chapter 3 in verse 21, 3:21. Who shall change our vile bodies? Did you know that you're living in a vile body? That's interesting, isn't it? One of our enemies, the vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. See, He's coming to change us so we can be in His presence for the rest of eternity in our new bodies that can handle what He is, the brightness of the Lord. So here we see the Lord in that thick darkness, that cloud that conceals the ark where He would reside. His presence was there, and only the priest could come in once a year. But in the New Testament, it's interesting, that veil that kept the priests or anybody that would come into the holy place look into the Holy of Holies, which was a very small little area, was torn when Jesus was crucified. Torn from the top to the bottom. And it really freaked out the priests, because they were probably running for their lives because they knew better. But what was God saying? It's open house. Come on in. Don't be afraid. It'll be all right. So that veil that was between us and God was ripped. What is the veil? It's a beautiful type of Jesus Christ. What happened to him? They tore him up. They tore him. In other words, he died for our sins that was keeping us from our Father. And so when that thing tore open, it's like Christ did the work. He finished the work. And so now anyone can go into his presence just by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he will come by his Spirit to indwell you with his presence. It's your presence, Lord, that we long for. It's your presence that we desire. And he created us so he could dwell in us. See, this is a temple. When Christ is there, you're a holy temple, a saint. You're a walking holy place, because Christ comes into our very hearts, our very being, and he becomes our closest, nearest, best friend. And he walks with us, and he blesses us. So very interesting, that whole analogy of the thick darkness, and then all of a sudden God just opens the door. Verse 2, but I have built a house of habitation. So I want you to follow this. Solomon is saying, I built a house for the Lord to inhabit with his presence, a place for thy dwelling forever. So this first portion here in 2 Chronicles 6 is actually shared in 1 Kings chapter 8. And 1 Kings chapter 8 reveals the other parts of this story. But these are the chronicles, the extra things that have been brought in. Over in Psalms 91 in verse, just jot it down, 91:9, he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You have asked Jesus in. That's such a powerful thing for anyone to do. Unbelievable. It's so powerful. Over in Ephesians 2:22, Paul, talking to those in Ephesus, again says, this is 2:22, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He's talking about the body of Christ. Us tonight, those of us that know Christ, we are the body of Christ. We're built together for a habitation of our God, that he would dwell within us. That's why he is in this place, where two or three are gathered who believe in him, who know him. He's in the midst. So he's here to work an incredible wonder. My pastor, Chuck Smith, he said this, and it's a great quote. Many say that man's greatest capacity is to contain God. I have the Holy Spirit. What do you got? You know? I have it, you know? Okay. But he says that's not true. Man's greatest capacity is as a vessel, he can flow through you. That's the greatest capacity. Not so much that you have the Holy Spirit, but that he has you to use as a channel. And I don't like that word channel that much. As a conduit. You see, that's the greatest capacity. That God can use me, that I can share and touch somebody's life, and they can receive what I have, and their whole life will be changed. That's incredible. That's powerful, is what that is. Over in John chapter 7, John says it this way. John 7 and verse 37. He says, in the last day, at that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, and this is in red in my Bible, Jesus said there on the temple, if any man thirst, and he stood up and he got everyone's attention. I wonder what the voice of God sounds like. When Jesus spoke, especially loud, you know, in that language that Jesus spoke in. It wasn't Hebrew. Anybody know what it was?
Aramaic.
And we go to the Holy Land. There's a guy that we go into a shop, and he goes to a church that they pray in Aramaic. It's the language of God. It's the language of Jesus. And he would say the Lord's Prayer. And it's just, everybody just closed their eyes, and they just listen. It's awesome. But he would stand up there in the temple. He says, if any man here thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He just wants us to be, you know, like never-ending streams. And if you believe in him, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll become that cup that is running over. Not just enough for you. I'm glad I have him. I pray for you to get him, you know, because I'm full. I'm blessed. No. We have received Christ to bless someone else. So there has to be that flowing. So there's the indwelling of Christ and the Holy Spirit, but then there is the overflowing of God out of our lives. Then you know that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, not in water, but baptized in the Holy Spirit, a real experience that Christians need in these last days more than ever. It's powerful. It's life-changing. You just say, God, I want all of you. I want as much as I can take in. And he just begins to fill. And then you're able to be that one that is dumping out on others and getting them wet with the living water. In your life, your life becomes a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. So I love that. Now notice verse 3. The king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation. This is Solomon now of Israel. He's blessing everyone, and all the congregation of Israel stood. So he stood up and he wanted to bless them. And he was going to give them the word of the Lord, and everybody stood up in reverence. You know how we do it with the Psalms on Sunday morning. We're going to read God's word together, so everybody's got the Psalm, and then I have everybody stand up. Because why? We're reading God's word. We're going to hear God's word in a very beautiful way, one verse after another. And then he said, blessed be the Lord God, verse 4, of Israel, who has with his hands fulfilled that which he spoke with his mouth to my father David. God is a God that says it and does it. He's a faithful God. He's a God that doesn't just write this stuff down and speak this stuff because just to fill a big book and say, this is my word. No, this is living. And it's real, and it takes place, and he's faithful to it. He will honor his word above his what? Above his name. That's what the Bible says. This is incredible that we even have this with us now. We can get into it. It can get into us and change us. James says it's great because you get to look in the mirror. Now, I know you girls, you look into the mirror twice as much as us guys. And that's why you guys are so holy. No, you're a lot more sensitive, spiritually speaking, than the guys. Why? Because you look into the mirror more. This is the mirror. And you're always looking for smudges. You're always looking for stuff going on. And you're looking, and you're looking, and you're looking. So this is the mirror. He says, look into the mirror. And when you see it, then you can repent and get it right, and he'll cleanse you of it. And so the more we're in it, the more we're being cleansed. And the more we're getting on track with our Father, which is in heaven, who gave us this covenant, who gave us this word. He wants us to walk in agreement with him. You can't do that unless you're studying the word and hiding it in your heart. So this is very precious, what God has given to us. But notice that he spoke with his mouth to my father David. So God's promise fulfilled. But was it Solomon, the fulfillment of that promise? Well, not really. At first, it was great. Yeah, but come on, Solomon is a man. Boy, he tried, though. And he thought, you know, right here, I know he's thinking, wow, look what God's given me. Put me on the throne. I'm now the king. I'm going to bring peace to everyone. I'm just the answer to what's the problem in this world that we're living in. And he was full of wisdom, right? But he disobeyed the Lord, didn't he? He was half-hearted towards God. He made mistakes, big sins, you know. He did things that God says when you get a king, you don't do these things. And collecting wives was one of his great downfalls. Gold was another one, and horses. He just went for it. And because of that, there's a condition in serving the Lord. The condition is you will be obedient, right? But if you're disobedient, which he was, that was his downfall. So who's the fulfillment of this? Well, of course we know that, Jesus Christ. And that is true. And God told David, this is what's going to happen with your lineage. You're going to bring forth the Messiah, and he's going to come on this earth and change it big time. So 1 Chronicles, write this one down, 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 says, "And thou, Solomon, know the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts." Does God know what I'm thinking right now?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. And sometimes we have wicked thoughts, don't we? And sometimes those aren't ours. The enemy plants them there. There's warfare in the mind, guys. That's why the truth, you know the truth, and the truth will free you from the lies. So you know what's a lie and you know what's a truth. When you think it, you go, oh, that's the enemy bugging me again, giving me those evil thoughts. So he knows the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. This is what God's saying to Solomon. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Solomon pushed the Lord away in his life. He blew it big time. And there was great payment for that. And Israel seemed to have kings one after another that were right on and then got right off. So verse 5. "Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt." So now he's going back a little bit, remembering what God has done. "I chose no city among all of the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name," notice that, "my name might be there." It's important that his name, his presence is there. "Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people, Israel." So he's talking about how God says, you are a very special people. And I didn't choose any other city. I didn't choose any other man. And when I moved you out of Egypt, then he says in verse 6, "But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name," again, "might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel." This is God's choice. I love this. You know why? Because he didn't ask me. It's not about asking me. "Lord, I want your will. I want your way. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. I want to acknowledge you in all my ways and that you might direct my path. I want what you want from my life." Because I did the other thing, and that was a mess. You know, trying to drive my own life and steer it. I crashed into everything. I made a mess of it. I hurt me, and I hurt others. That's what will happen if you do your own thing. We need to be in his will. So what is the will of the Lord? Ephesians 5:18 says, I want you to understand what the will of the Lord is. And he says, I want you to be filled, not drunk with the wine, wherein is excess, but I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Over in Ezekiel chapter 47, just listen to this. Ezekiel was having this incredible vision, and he said, I stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, at the south side of the altar. So we're talking about, you know, the temple and the altar, but all of a sudden he sees this water flowing out. And then verse 3, it says, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And Ezekiel's saying here, this is his vision, Ezekiel 47, he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. And this is an incredible vision of how someone gets into the will of God and finds out what his will is. It starts with the feet. You take a step of faith. You don't understand what is being talked about. You don't understand the depth of it. You don't understand the width of it, the height or anything. But you just take a step because you know what you got isn't working. And what he's serving up is life eternal, is amazing peace and joy in your life, to have your sins forgiven, to walk with God. I mean, is there any greater call than when he calls someone to himself? So it starts with the step of faith, doesn't it? Your feet. So he stepped into this water. And again, verse 4, it says he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And the waters were now up to his knees. And we know what knees means. It means God gets our attention when we're on our knees. And you're never going to fall if you're on your knees. We need to be on our knees more. Why? Because knees speaks of prayer. Crying out to God. Bowing before him. Allowing him to get a hold of us more and more each and every day. Prayer is, I get to talk with God. Then I get to hear from God through his word. At times he's still small voice. He speaks to us as we get into this prayer. Oh, it's awesome. It's exciting. You begin as a young Christian to see God answer prayers immediately. Then you get a little older and he says, you're going to wait a little bit. Oh, I don't want to wait. I want like it used to be when I was a younger Christian and everything just happened when I prayed. Well, he was encouraging you then. Now he's proving your faith. He's checking you out. Do you believe what you're doing? Do you believe what you've received in Jesus' name? He's proving us. He's testing us. So the prayers are awesome. And then he goes furthermore into the waters, and it came up to his loins, the place of reproduction, the waist. And there, as disciples of Christ, we're praying. We've stepped into a relationship with God through Christ. We're praying. We're praying for our loved ones. And then we start reaching out and producing fruit in others as far as seeing people discipled for Christ, and we're sharing, we're witnessing our faith. So that's the place of the loins. And then he goes even further into the river, and it says in verse 5, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. This is God's will, that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the beautiful illustration of what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
What an exciting experience available to every believer. And our teacher, Pastor Jeff Johnson, will share more about this fascinating illustration of the Spirit next time here on Sound Doctrine. Well, you have a few options if you would like to hear this study once again. The easiest is to go to sounddoctrineradio.org or download our free app and listen on your mobile device. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or get it on Google Play. And you can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. Here at Sound Doctrine, we try to select resources each month that we believe can really help you grow and be successful in your Christian life. Today, we would like to make a special mention of a book by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. It's called The Strategy of Satan. Learn how to detect and defeat the enemy as Warren Wiersbe zeroes in on Satan's attacks as a deceiver, a destroyer, ruler, and accuser. He emphasizes that conquering the enemy comes by obeying God's truth. We'll send this your way when you call us, 800-353-7553, or visit us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. We ask for $15 for this book, The Strategy of Satan. And if you can include a little extra, that would be most appreciated. It'll serve to help us continue this radio ministry. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or again by calling us 800-353-7553. Well, join us tomorrow for Sound Doctrine when Pastor Jeff goes deeper into 2 Chronicles chapter 6. This daily program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,